Wright.
Present.
Director Blackburn.
Present.
And Director Angelo.
Here.
Everyone is here or present. We'll move on to item number 3, which is the flag salute, if you'll join us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number 4 is the agenda review. I did speak with Mr. Minery earlier, and item number 15, the Conference of Legal Counsel closed session regarding existing litigation. We do not have an update at this time, so I would move to pull that unless anybody feels a desire to talk about it. Okay. We'll pull item number 15. Is there any other changes that anybody would like to make? Oh, I also understand that... Casey O'Connor, under special presentation number 2, will not be presenting tonight. Anything else, anybody? Any comments?
Mr. President?
Yes.
There is a it's a typographical error in the employment contract for the new general manager.
Okay.
The very first paragraph, second line, it says October 14th. It should say October 15th.
Okay. Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right, is there a motion to approve then as amended?
I move that we approve the agenda.
All right. Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, carries 5-0. We'll move on to public comment. I hope it, the rest of the community shares my excitement this evening. There's a lot going on, and so we'll get there in due course. But Ms. Naylor, we'll move on to public comment, and we'll go ahead and take you first since you're already up.
Thank you.
Good evening, Ms. Naylor.
I wasn't really prepared for this, but I thought I would mention it because there are some things in the agenda packet that do touch on an issue that I discovered relative to my property. Apparently, somebody put in unauthorized, unpermitted, unlicensed telecommunications equipment outside my house. It was originally installed about the time Pace developers were putting in three townhouses next door to me, and the way it was represented to me was this was supposed to be for their, on their property and for their cable TV. But the way it was represented was it was to upgrade the community's cable TV so they wouldn't have the cables from their roofs to the telephone poles. Who installed it, what the purpose is, there's no permit. I went to DPW. I got threatened with arrest, as usual, for even asking for a copy of the encroachment permit specific to my address, for a copy of the application for the permit, which would have identified who the installer was. And after, threatening and calling the sheriffs out, they finally produced the fact that there was no permit. There was no encroachment permit obtained. And I think that's relative to what the general manager may bring up tonight. It was totally a coincidence, but there is something that you're bringing up that relates to who's going to be responsible for violations of law that occur in the streets, the right-of-ways, and cause damage to people's property. So I just thought I would bring that up. And Dave Flynn was the person that called the police, and Dave Flynn is presenting
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Naylor. Thank you so much. Well, the next one I have is April McLaughlin. Good evening, April.
Thank you, Giselle.
Thank you, Giselle.
Good evening. My name is April McLaughlin of the Five Cities. And on a lighter note, I would like to thank all of the Oceano and San Luis Obispo County residents that participated and came to our Farmers Market fundraiser event that was at the Rock and Roll Diner on September 28th. We sold a great amount of raffle tickets. We got wonderful support from local community members and business members individually and as businesses financially with donations, et cetera. With that in mind, I would like to congratulate Mrs. Ray for her appointment, and now that she is aware that we do want to start up an Oceano Community Farmers Market as part of the Oceano Revitalization Plan that was approved by the Board of Supervisors recently. So, thank you.
Thank you very much for what you guys are doing, April. Tim Baird was. Good evening, Tim.
I have copies of my proposal.
Can you hand those actually to Ms. McGrath, and then she can pass them out? Thank you very much.
My name is Tim Berg, and I live at 1470 13th Street, Apartment A, which is right behind the lot here and behind you. I have spelled out my presentation tonight with an issue, my objective, my problem, and my proposal. My issue is that I'm requesting to park my car in the Oceano Community Services parking lot. I am referring to the 6 or 7 spaces that are to the far north end of the rear parking lot and are accessible from the 13th Street driveway coming in behind the fire department. My objective: I need to find a safe place to park my second vehicle, a 4-door sedan. My problem: my apartment complex allows space for only 1 vehicle per unit in my apartment complex. Secondly, on the west side of 13th Street, this side, there is only access for a bike lane and there is no parking. Thirdly, on the east side, the opposite side of the street, there is limited parking in front of residential housing. Parking is broken up by driveways and street access for mailboxes. And finally, and most importantly, there is limited lighting on South 13th Street with daylight savings ending soon. Crossing this swift-moving access road in the dark is very dangerous. My proposal: I would be willing to pay a reasonable fee if you would grant permission to park in your parking lot, your back parking lot. And I am also here speaking for another tenant who works out of town and is home on the weekends. He has a pickup. His pickup bed carries a large welding machine and cannot be locked with an ordinary cover. And he's asking if he could have a spot too.
Thank you, sir. We're not able to take any action on it this night.
Okay.
What I'll do is I'll direct you to contact staff, and they'll talk to you. And if it's something that needs to come back to the board, then we can do that. But thank you for your.
So, will I hear from someone, or will I be speaking to someone directly?
I would direct you to contact staff normal hours between 8 and 5.
And staff would mean this gentleman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and the way your agenda is set up, I'm forced to speak to something on the agenda before you take action. So I thought at this time I kind of would give you a little history lesson. And that history lesson is based in the fact that your district has struggled financially over the last several years. Ms. Lucy actually called it was 2011. Those rate increases were based on a set number of people on staff in a certain price range. And the general manager's salary at the time was $87,500. Tonight, you're looking at a contract for a general manager at the rate of $126,000, considerably higher. Those rate increases were intended to go to pipes in the ground. They were intended to see that safe water was served to your community, and that this amount of money is going to a salary that I really don't believe you can afford doesn't reflect on the candidate, Mr. Curtis. If he's worth his salt, he will come in here and he'll see that you cannot afford him at that rate. And your ratepayers deserve your scrutiny over every dollar and every dime. And what has happened is, through the last management, you were fed a lot of baloney, And currently, your water fund is $600,000 in debt to the admin fund. It's $60,000 in debt to the garbage fund. And yet you continue to spend as if everything's okay. It's not okay in Oceano.
Thank you, Mrs. Tacker. Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to speak to your item, agenda item number 7, which is the consideration of appointing Mr. Curtis as your GM. I share your board's interest in appointing a GM as soon as possible. I've made comments to that effect in recent meetings. But I think it's important at this moment that you at least wait 2 weeks until your next meeting. I have a number of concerns with the contract and with some of the circumstances surrounding this appointment. First of all, this contract, and looking at it, this looks like a Molly Thurman contract. And my first concern is that if something goes wrong with Mr. Curtis and you have a problem with the contract, you're going to have to bring Molly Thurman back. That is concerning. Because remember, when the Geislin contract went bad, you had to bring her back to take care of that. So that's my first concern. Secondly, I have a handful of questions. Is the scope of work, is Mr. Curtis to be the district engineer as well? Because that would help explain the $126,000 annual salary. If not, I think you definitely have a problem. Some other just curiosities and questions. Was there a physical performed? Did he pass a pre-employment physical? Because I think that was one of the things that we talked about at personnel meetings. Also, did you review a writing sample? Because that was one of the things that we talked about again at personnel meetings, is to see how this individual can write and speak and deliver staff reports, because that's, as we know, basically his job. It appears that he has a lot of water experience. He's a civil engineer, seemingly quite qualified in that regard, but does he have labor relations experience? You have a union knocking on your door. Can he help in that regard? Special district administration, I didn't see any of that in his credentials, so I'm a little confused about that. The idea of a six-month severance pay with what appears to be no probation period, I have a concern about that. So in general, I would ask you to, again, continue this matter. Don't make the appointment tonight. Don't pass this resolution. Take a look at some more specifics, and I sure hope you got a writing sample, and he has a broader experience than just civil engineering. I'm sure he's quite qualified in that regard, but you need much more than that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? We do have Supervisor Ray here. I would invite her up for public comment. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you for joining
us. It's funny to say Mr. President. Hi, everyone. I'm just here to introduce myself to you for those of you who don't know me. So thank you, Board, for having me tonight. I'm Karen Ray. I'm the newly appointed supervisor for District 4. And I just wanted to let you know that I will be keeping the same office hours here in Oceano that Supervisor Teixeira had. So that will be Thursdays from 1:30 to 3:30. Forgive me, I will start that next week, not this week. I'm still getting my schedule under control this week, but starting next week, you can call my legislative assistant, Elizabeth Ruth, at 781-5450 to make that appointment. You can also reach me anytime via email at my county email, which is cray@co.slo.ca.us. Again, that's cray@co.slo.ca.
We're ready to go. Checking your pulse. Making sure you're still alive. Okay, here comes Mary. Here comes Mary, Jerry. All right. We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 7:18 p.m. and we're going to trail items 6 and 7 till the back of the calendar. That would be till after item number 14. We'll move on to item number 8, which is special presentations. Deputy Director Dave Flynn, San Luis Obispo County Works, regarding Highway 1 ADA project. Additional street light maintenance request.
Oh,
good evening. Good to see you again.
Can the public
thank
have
you.
A copy of what he's passing out tonight? It should be attached to the agenda.
We're just receiving it for the first time. And Ms. Naylor, if you'd please not interrupt the meeting. Thank you. We will. There will be a copy over there.
Here's an additional copy.
We'll attach this to the agenda as just being received. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Thanks for having me tonight. Dave Flynn with Public Works Department. This is a follow-up to some previous conversations we've had. I believe our consultant who did the revitalization study had been here back in June or July. Our board had adopted the Oceano Revitalization Plan in early August. And in moving ahead with this, we've been planning to submit an application for doing portions of the overall work along the street through San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. They have a funding application. In fact, their applications are due tomorrow, and so we're on process to submit an application for doing revitalization work and then find out from San Luis Obispo Council of Governments in December what if we're successful or not. Previously, we had communicated to your general manager that we would like to be on your agenda to look specifically at the issue of whether you would want to participate in the maintenance of additional streetlights as part of the overall project. So I've just provided this as kind of an overview of the project, what specifically we're looking at doing, and the costs involved for undertaking the work. So let me just kind of run through that quickly. You know, our objective would be to implement improvements along the east side of Front Street from 13th Street down to 19th Street. And you're aware of the plan. At the very bottom of this, I've got kind of this website reference if you want to look at the plan further. Our objective primarily is to improve the intersection configurations, which currently come in at large skews with large pedestrian crossing zones. And as part of the plans, that was an item that we wanted to tackle. And that's our chief element that we would want to do there. With that, there'd be the incorporation of curb bulb outs, better cross gutters for the drainage to make it more of a pedestrian-friendly frontage. We'd also be looking at some sidewalk repairs, you know, sporadically through there, just to make sure we have a continuous sidewalk in good condition. And then street lights. Currently, you have a number of street lights along Front Street. But there seems to be gaps in between where the street lights are. So our goal would be to put in more regular street lights under this grant. And then lastly, street furniture. Those could be benches, trash receptacles, other type of things that you would see along a city street. This project would be similar to what we've undertaken in San Miguel. We've done streetscapes, and we've worked with their CSD on undertaking the streetlight maintenance. Same thing in Cambria. We did that probably 10 years ago and worked with them. We've done a similar project down in Napomo Old Town some time ago. That, though, is not under a CSD. That has a separate lighting district that operates those streetlights. So an overview just of the project costs. We're looking at approximately over a $750,000 project, of which the majority of that is for the project construction value for the revitalization plan. Currently, we have $90,000 that's available for us to proceed with the design on the project, and then we would be seeking approximately $650,000 through a grant application that we'll be submitting tomorrow to SLOCOG. We also are working closely with Caltrans. They have a ADA ramp upgrade to work at all the intersections. They have proceeded with the design, but we're trying to time this so that we can go to them and then request the construction value for those monies and be able to then fold that construction money into this overall project. That would allow us to probably extend our limits potentially around past 19th Street. For our timing, we'd be looking to try to build something in 15-16 fiscal year once we design a layout, and then we would have kind of a community review of that plan. We would have to get a coastal development permit, and then we could proceed to construction. We would like to time that, though, potentially with the Oceano 13th Street Highway 1 drainage project and try to realize some cost savings and just doing this significant work all at once. That would also hopefully minimize disturbance during construction. So really tonight, the request is just, would your board be interested in pursuing streetlight maintenance of an expanded sense if we were to put in additional streetlights? And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And actually, that was one of my questions to you. What would our obligation be? I know that Miss Lucy is a big proponent of streetlights, and I think that this is a really appropriate place to have these with the revitalization plan. I think that that's, you know, it's hand in glove, really. And so,
now, what we look for from an agency is just really a commitment saying that they will take the obligation of maintaining those streetlights if they're constructed.
So we'd have the electricity and the maintenance of them would be our obligation?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Now, the maintenance typically is done through a PG&E service, and that's part of their charge typically. If you use one of the PG&E standard lights, mm-hmm. Our experience is if you do have some type of more customized light that they do not maintain, then those typically are on the agency then to support maintenance and stocking those type of lights that aren't on their maintenance list.
When would we need to make that decision by? As to what type of light, because obviously we don't have any numbers in front of us. I speaking for myself,
correct.
I like the particular ones that are in the downtown corridor myself.
Yeah, I agree. Can I ask you just a couple questions? First of all, I want to thank you for even considering bringing, you know, this project to the area. It's dearly needed. And so now this is totally different from the IRWM money, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. This is strictly highway account.
Beautification. This is strictly beautification and compliance. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Compliance at the ADA. So one question about the street lighting is sometimes things get knocked down on that corner because it's really kind of a three-way, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, the fender benders right there because of the structure, and you had mentioned how the street was designed funky, kind of. So if the light pole gets knocked down, I mean, we're not, does the district, are we the ones who have to pay for a new light to be put in there?
Well, I know when we have ones as a county,
uh-huh.
We'll get into the...
You guys have more money than we do, though.
Well, sure. But it's a thing of you have to still track down, right? Because we don't want to keep paying for it out of our funds, right? Mm-hmm. You have to go
right.
Track down.
And we don't want to have, you know, a dead, you and, know,
and
light
so
out there.
It is an exposure of, yes, someone's got to replace it.
Okay.
And that, you know, depending where you place the light, though, you know, has a greater susceptibility to being hit than other places. So,
yeah. Well, without a pole would be great.
But
yeah.
You just got to make them hard for the drunks to hit. That's what. Yeah.
Okay. Then also too is that, you know, we have the old fire department on that corner, and it potentially floods the first floor. And so there's been sandbagging that's gone on for years and stuff. But you will pay very close attention to the curb cut there, that it be one ADA compliant. And if it's possible to consider a sidewalk there, because right behind there is a small, small community center, that's, for lack of a term, it's, you know, a community room that's rented out. And so a lot of people cross the street right there, you know, and you almost get afraid because they park on one side of the highway and then run like hell across.
Some bulb outs, you know, in front of where the old fire department was, mm-hmm. and then to a lesser extent on the opposite side of the street. And some of that's just to try to slow that traffic that's probably, you know, taking it as at like off-ramp speeds mm-hmm. or on-ramp speeds going up 13th Street, you know, and control the pedestrian crossing there. So we would really try to look at how we could improve those crossing points across 13th Street. Across Highway 1, a lot more difficult. I don't know if they're parking on the west side of Highway 1.
They are.
You know, that would be something we'd have to look.
That's the only available parking there, you know. Mm-hmm. And the depot is kind enough to let them use that lot.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the lot over on that side.
Yeah.
That would be a question we would have to really work with Caltrans as we advance these plans, because since it is in the state right away, we have to get an encroachment permit from Caltrans.
Okay.
And that would be an issue of how do you best funnel the pedestrian traffic
right.
at where's the safe location and where do you get them down, right? Because there really isn't a walkway, to my recollection, between that parking lot by the depot and that crossing.
No, just run like heck.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the bike lanes and stuff, I mean, this is kind of still a phased improvement, right? So the revitalization plan was looking to widen along the west side there so that you could provide adequate bike lanes through town and even provide a little buffer between where the parking zone was and the bike lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really what we would consider probably the first phase of, you know, future work that if there is development along the west side, would probably widen the street out and provide more of a room for a bike lane. And that's no different than in these other communities as well. We've really had to address kind of developing streetscape plans in a phased manner. First, because of funding, no one ever just gives you a check for $2 million all at once and say, here, do it.
Yeah.
And
right.
then second, too, is just kind of, you have to kind of wait and see how development improves before you commit to anything. But certainly in the communities that we work with, we've really tried to work on, let's work on the existing central business district sides where, you know, it's antiquated sidewalks or there's something that's got to be upgraded like the ADA mm-hmm. ramps. And that's where we're trying to spend the money.
Great.
Yeah.
Karen.
Thanks.
I am certainly in favor of trying to tie in what the county can do with what Caltrans is going to do at 13th Street, because I hate the thoughts of one entity tearing up that intersection and then another one coming and doing it again. I think that taxpayers would be offended and I would be offended if we couldn't maybe tie in some of that together.
Understandable, and we are the lead agency, the county is, for the 13th Street and Highway 1 drainage. So it's mm-hmm. well within our, you know, abilities to, you know, pair these things together. The only thing that would just be a stopping point would just be getting the approvals in a timely manner and just getting an overall Caltrans encroachment permit.
Yeah, I would think the approvals, if they're designing something, you could tie into some other designs and make
Correct.
It happen. Yeah. And but I don't know, I'd like to see the figures on how much lighting we can support. I'm looking at our street lighting is one area where we're kind of ahead of the curve. For the first quarter, we haven't spent 25%, so it looks like that budget-wise, we've got a little bit of money in there, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the replacement that we'll need.
Yeah.
So I would add that, you know, if you were to pursue, if we want to pursue additional streetlights or rehab or modify the existing streetlights, you know, one element of the project would probably be LED retrofit of those streetlights to just reduce and provide some cost savings from that end. So that, you know, in the sense that, you know, if you ended up with a dozen more lights on the street, perhaps your power costs remain the same if they've all been converted to LED.
I do have a question. I'm curious, the concrete fixtures that are there, are they PG&E maintenance ones? Are they?
Those are OCSD. Yeah.
Those are ours.
Those are extremely historic.
Yeah. Okay. So they could not be matched exactly.
You couldn't, you know, get them, or PG&E would not have an exact replica of that in stock. The options there would be to essentially rehab some of the ones, because I've seen that the concrete's kind of spalled off and there's exposed rebar to them. That could be done. That could be very expensive, however. PG&E does have very similar type of kind of acorn top street lights with either a concrete or fiberglass type of fluted columns, very similar to that.
Okay. Seeing those.
I hate those.
I love roundabouts. Director Blackburn, I think, has another question.
Yep. I do have one more quick question. I had noticed in previous communications that that the Caltrans had said that updating the bulb outs at the same time as their ADA project was not would not work. Are you looking at another option for that, or?
Yeah, what we have done in the past with Caltrans is we've tried to work and do cooperative projects. And a lot of times what we first try to do is we'll tell them, well, you just give us all the money and we'll do it for you.
Okay.
And that's worked very successfully.
Okay.
And that's what our first pitch to Caltrans was.
Mm-hmm.
Because of great complications with how they define their cash, they were not allowed to just give us, you know, here's a check, go do it.
Okay.
And so then we went back to them and said, well, okay, the board just adopted this big plan. Why don't you integrate it?
Mm-hmm.
They were not excited about doing that. So then we said, okay, well, as long as we can come forward with the design, you know, by next spring, and, you know, before you would ever decide to go out to construct it, and we have a viable plan, you know, and the funding to do it, then will you essentially sign an agreement to transfer the construction value of those ADA ramps, and we'll just take on that responsibility. So that's where we're at with Caltrans, and, you know, it would be rather ridiculous, right, if they go in and put in ADA ramps and spend a fair amount of money, and then we come in, you know, a year later and rip them all out. So I don't think anyone of any agency would want to see that occur.
Right. So you're working on design plans at this point to show them so that they can...
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
That is great.
Do we need any action tonight?
Well, I don't think we can take any because it's a special presentation. I think what we need to do is put it on a future agenda item to consider taking a position regarding the street lighting. Would that be correct?
Yeah. We would just need to see is some action from your board, either a letter from your general manager or some resolution that would say, you know, if the county put in the street lights or the additional street lights, the
we'll adopt
would take the maintenance and operations.
Okay. And I think part of that we would like to be part of the picking the design for them. And I remember...
Absolutely.
I think maybe it was a year ago, some time ago, you had sent the previous general manager some photographs of these are available. Maybe it was Caltrans. These are the types of...
You saw this, yeah.
Yeah, you saw the... Did you see those two? And some of them were pretty close to what we already have.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can certainly get some more greater detail from PG&E. You know, in moving forward with this, you know, we submit an application. We'll submit it for $600,000 or so.
Sure.
And then if you're interested in participating in the streetlights, then we'll divert that portion of the money for streetlights. If not, we would probably just then push our limits out towards 21st Street.
I think that we are interested.
Yeah.
So if you could perhaps provide us to Mr. Keefe the... Some of the design possibilities so that we can consider those. We might be able to pick and say, this is our first choice, this is our second choice, and let's see if we can work together. I think that'd be great.
Mr. President, Mr. Flynn did provide us with, I don't know, 3 or 4 pages of pictures of different PG&E streetlights, but they're really, in my opinion, rather poor quality. So if we could get something a little better, that would help.
Certainly. I think with this process, too, we would probably come down here for just kind of a design review meeting with the public at large, and then we could always come back to a future district meeting when we have our design further along, like a 50 or 60% review, so that we can incorporate those community elements.
Right.
That sounds good.
Since I did engage in this conversation, I may ask one question. These PG&E historic type lamp posts, they are breakaway?
I believe they're not breakaway. You know, in an urban setting like this, typically you wouldn't provide for a breakaway base.
Let me ask you, I know that the five antiques that we so dearly hold to heart, the lamps that are out there now, that other cities replaced theirs, you know, many, many years ago. And so I want to go back to, I know ours are not in the condition to revamp or, you know, to swap out or try to clean up and things like that. But if other municipalities, you know, like DWP, I know has a huge lot of lamps from different years, Department of Water and Power for the City of Los Angeles, you know, and they actually have a museum on streetlights down on Wilshire,
yeah,
which is really great to go in and look at all the different designs over the centuries. But would that complicate things? If you were to go to another jurisdiction,
so
the community found, you know.
Yeah, as I follow you, right, it's like
getting replica, new modern replicas for Front Street, and then moving those five treasured lights to Triangle Park or to some other in front of the community center or somewhere else where they could be preserved more safely than along a major highway.
Mm-hmm. That's an idea.
Yeah. Really good idea.
Yeah, certainly PG&E provides those replica type of lights, and you know, seems like a reasonable option if you've got
cheaper.
A suitable place to put them.
Yeah.
And yeah. People in the community could restore those five.
Yeah.
And the one more that's in Halcyon. There's another one in Halcyon if we can get
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I'm
and
not aware
more around.
Of the other communities in the county that have anything of this vintage. They seem like, you know, the oldest ones I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I think they are. Yeah.
I have a question also. Has the street been established where the lights are going to be put yet?
No.
No. Okay, good.
Although, along that, what we have found is that the spacing tends to be pretty close if you want to have a nice pedestrian lighting at night.
Yeah.
Really, probably no more than 150-foot spacing is
okay.
Ideal.
The reason I'm asking is the same thing with the parking lot and the fire department. I almost hit somebody there one night because I didn't see them. There was no lighting, and they ran across the street. And it just by accident, my headlight hit him, and I was able to keep from hitting him. And it happens quite frequently. So that one area there, I would really like to see a lot of light and maybe even a flashing light to, you know, make you aware that there's a lot of crossing there.
All right. Well, thank you, and
thank
I look
you
forward
so much
to whatever
support.
Communication.
So you need a letter of commitment from us.
Yes, that,
okay,
that clearly states that you would take over operation and maintenance if they were constructed.
We'll add that to the agenda and get it to you.
Yeah, thank you
so
very
much.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. I'm really encouraged. I just wish this was happening year 13, 14 instead of 15, 16. But
that's okay.
Nothing happens quickly.
We're patient.
We'll move on to the consent agenda, review and approval of minutes, cash disbursements, and then D, a will serve letter for Arvella Terrell. Those were all included in the package. Is there any discussion or is there a motion?
I read them, but I
really do like the new setup of the warrants.
Yes, nice and easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this, I got to ask Marie, is this Tyler printout, or is this what we're seeing, or is there, what's the difference in the presentation of the warrants? How did, they're easier to read, I think, myself, they're cleaner.
She also put them according to fund.
Jocelyn, Matt has a question on the cash disbursements, the printout. It looks different than it has in the past.
Director Blackburn and I were admiring this, and we're just wondering what if this is a Tyler, a different Tyler printout, or what?
In Tyler, before we were entering the invoices under our direct payable part of the module,
mm-hmm.
Which is one way, and then you can use the regular payables module. I was not able to use the other way of doing it, And now that I'm more familiar with the modules, being there now that I've been there for 9 months and actually had time to sit down and play around with it and see what I can do, I was able to find this. And now our budget is, we finally closed last year's. Okay. So now when I print, I have a current budget to look at our expenses against. And so you'll see that one page that talks about if there's anything that's over budget, what line item it is. It has a little Y next to it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So now going forward, we should have, you'll have that. So you won't be approving any disbursements if it's over budget, unless there's a good reason, and it'll be highlighted there.
Very cool. You'll have to educate us on that again, I'm sure, next time.
It was a pretty big breakthrough that day. I was pretty excited when I was able to do that.
Also yelling and screaming, we heard now.
I really do appreciate, too, when you know, we're having to borrow from one fund into another fund, that you're actually treating it as a loan.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're putting on the interest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I looked at it, I go, God, it looks like a loan, Doc. And I go, oh, it is. How great. So thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that. So when we borrow from one fund to another, you know, it's not... It's a loan. It's not, you know, a keeper.
Yes.
Yeah, so thank you.
Yay.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
No second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Consent agenda passes 5-0. We'll move on to reports. 10A is Sheriff South Station, Commander Jay Donovan.
Parked and it unlocked, and all their valuables on the front seat, someone's going to steal them. And then it becomes a big issue for us to try and track them down, and et cetera, et cetera. Commander Donovan also wanted me to mention to you the Napomo Oktoberfest is this coming weekend, the 12th and 13th. Hours on Saturday will be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Sunday 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Our Oceano substation, Sheriff's Auxiliary Voluntary Patrol will be there, as well as some contingents of explorers and miscellaneous employees and volunteers from the Sheriff's Department. Not in an official capacity, but just for presence. And then they're providing their own security this year, too. But we'll be in the area as well.
Where is that at?
It's at the Napomo Community Park, which is on the corner of Pomeroy and Taft. And they're expecting 1,000 people, Battle of the Bands, beer gardens, all kinds of events. So it should be a good time.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great kickoff for the farmers market, too. Too bad they're not here. Well, I had to call, you know, you guys out this last couple of weeks, and Deputy Danley came out, did a great job, caught the guy on a bus like that, and I want to say thanks for coming out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions?
No.
Just thank you also for your efforts in Halcyon last night.
Yeah, my personal efforts, yes.
Oh, were you out there running through the trees?
That was me.
What happened? We saw you guys come through there.
A gentleman that just didn't want to be contacted by us, and he was a little faster on his bike than I could be on my feet. So
this time.
We need the horse patrol.
What's that?
You need the horse patrol to go through that country.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Jim. Have a nice evening. Thank you.
Have a good night. All right. We'll move on to item B, Five Cities Fire Authority, Fire Chief Hubert, or in his stead, Chief Heath. Good evening.
Good evening, Honorable Directors, President Groh, Ricky
you.
Heath, Five Cities Fire. This past 30 days, we ran 43 calls out of the Oceana Station. Two of them were fires. One was unfortunately, it was a really nice Jaguar that was parked over on Cienega. And then a second fire was actually behind the Osh store in Pismo, right there at the on-ramp at Oak Park. There was a group of oak trees, and somebody had an encampment inside there. When we responded, it looked like an actual structure fire because the furnishings that were in there. But the people that were staying there, they disappeared. Mm. So we had 28 medical calls, one hazardous, power lines down, five service calls, and then seven canceled en route. This weekend at the headquarters station in Rio Grande, we're going to have a family fun day, fire department open house for all the children. We'll be serving hot dogs and cotton candy, I believe. and there'll be a bounce house and stuff like that. It goes from 11 to 2.
And that's so, at the Grover Beach Station? Or
no, it'll be at the Rio Grande.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll be there.
Okay. Any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, I read in the newspaper that the JPA is moving forward. I couldn't tell if it was on a special district or if it was a tax levy. So can you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. What they're looking at doing is going for a benefit assessment. It's not a tax. And the reason why they chose that is because then the actual property and business owners will have the opportunity to vote, not people that are just renting and making a vote on, you know, paying tax. Somebody that owns the property from out of state would have to pay taxes on something that a renter would vote on if it was a property tax. And so they chose to go with the benefit assessment.
And that's going to be all the cities?
I should make it known that Fire Chief Hubert had originally scheduled himself in here this evening to give a full explanation of that proposal, but they weren't ready, and he will be coming to this board at a future meeting.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, because I read it in the paper, and I go, gosh, I could swear I sit on that board. You know, like, yeah. What, you know, and then we had discussed it when Ms. Hurdle was, you know, chairing on the JPA or
right.
Sitting on the JPA. But I was afraid that it had moved forward to going to the ballot to become a special service district, you know, and that we hadn't had time to really digest all the options and made our point as strong as possible where right. We stand, which I don't know where that is.
Well, yeah, they changed horses midstream. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I am on that board, and I was going to give Fuz a hotline. Send the right fire department. It just really concerns me that the housing store might be on fire, and the call would be a 911 call from a cell phone of a person driving by, which would go to the CHP in San Luis, which would go to CAL FIRE, which would send a truck from the top of the mesa. Mm-hmm. There still continues to be a better way.
There's closer equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my concern for anybody's home. We have to make sure we get the right fire department, the one that's right around the corner.
Yes. Dispatch has been quite a challenge, and hopefully within the next year or so we'll get that straightened out with the help of some additional funding from the benefit assessment.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. I've been approached by some fire guys who are interested in, the jello's not hard, but interested in using the old fire station and turning it into a museum, a fire museum, which I think would be great. And so at some point we can talk about that as a board, but you know, it would a couple of benefits to the community if you have another attraction that would tie in with the Oceano Depot.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's been stealing my thoughts in the night.
Oh, good. Well, you wear them on your sleeve. So
I know.
But and then also it could also maybe move some of the expense for maintenance of the building too. And so just a thought. And so we can revisit that at a future agenda item. But I wanted to plant the seed.
Is there any public comment?
And so, thank you, Chief Heath.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. We'll move on to item number 10C, OCSD Operations, Interim General Manager, Gary Keith.
Excuse me, is there any public comment?
We have public comment item number 12. Thank you. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, we're well along in the recruitment process for the General Manager. I expect we'll have completed that this evening. The utility system supervisor vacancy has been filled. We had difficulty getting a large number of applications for that job. We had received two during the initial application period. We extended it through the end of the month, and we received another two, so we had four applications. Upon review, we found that two were simply not qualified. And then there was one that clearly failed our background check. So the remaining applicant happened to be our acting utility system supervisor, Tony Maricino, which is, and so I appointed him and just didn't try to put together a panel. It was a waste of time. So your new utility system supervisor is Tony Maricino, and
Maricino. Yes.
The staff is quite pleased with the performance that they've experienced, and I think he's going to do a good job for you. With the account clerk position that's in progress, Marie tells me we've got about 60 applications. A lot of them appear to be qualified, so we will be scheduling an interview panel. We have filled that vacancy temporarily with a temporary employee, Mario De Leon, who's doing a great job for us. It turns out he's worked for us before as a temporary. He's cross-trained. He can work in the field. He can work in the office. I don't know how you could find a better solution than what we have at the moment.
Two for one.
And then for the utility system operator, that's also in progress. We've got about 20 applications. My review tells me that a lot of those folks are qualified. We'll have our new utility system supervisor assist in the recruitment process, but we're going to do an interview panel get people qualified and make the selection from that point. The used truck that the board members were able to find for us, thank you very much, is moving forward. We've gotten tires on it. I think they got them on yesterday. We were able to use a local provider. Turns out he was anywhere from $90 to $100 cheaper than the next lowest quote. So the tires are on there. Now we've got to get a hitch on it that's suitable to tow the jetter. The one that's on there is rated at something like 12,000 pounds, and the jetter's name tag rating is 14,000 pounds, so we're going to upgrade that. And once that's done, then we're going to put the truck to the physical test and see if it'll haul that thing up and down the hills and the brakes work and all that sort of thing. And assuming at that stage that we look good, then we're going to go ahead and fix the horn and the fuel gauge and a few other things and get it roadworthy, and we'll be all set. And I suspect at this point that you're going to have enough money left over from the allocation that you provided that you can go out and buy a hydraulic dump trailer. As you remember, we were looking for a flatbed dump to replace the one that we're surplusing. I think you can get a good one for something like $6,000. Okay.
Hey, I know I'll get it back. I'm trusting.
Yeah, you.
I'll hunt you down.
Okay. The emergency generator down the road here for the fire station and the sheriff's office and our well and this building. We still got that on the list. It's something that's got to be taken care of. I felt like we were in pretty good shape in terms of our compliance with the state health department's concerns when we got the booster pump going, because that allows us to maintain system pressure. But they've made a comment recently about, well, when are you going to fix the generator? And we got to looking at that. I know what their concern is. Their concern is that in an extended power outage that we might not have enough water in storage to maintain system pressure. So I've had Tony run some numbers, and your peak day would be the highest consumption day, not peak hour, but the highest consumption day of the year. With the tanks relatively full at the time of the power outage, you got about a day's water supply, which is pretty much acceptable under state health department standards. At some point, my successor, I'm sure, will come forward to you and let you make a decision about how you want to look at having some sort of a reserve water supply standard. But the generator still remains something that's high priority, not just because of the emergency response concerns, but also because of the fact that we should take the next step to extend our water supply, which would, and by putting the generator online, you make certain that you can use your groundwater if you need to and not rely on what you've got in storage.
And we're going to potentially see that when the state water is being serviced November, was it 1st through the 26th, that they're not going to be delivering state water? So
I suppose if you had a power outage under those circumstances,
it wouldn't matter.
Let's just hope we don't have a power outage. As far as the stormwater management plan, I explained that to you at the last meeting. Your district engineer will have a draft submittal for us to review on the 21st. So that's moving along, and that's important to me because I really want to get the district back into compliance. It's an administrative thing, really, but we need to be in compliance.
Yes.
Okay, we already heard about the parking lot issue tonight from the gentleman that appeared earlier. I wanted to give you a little background, the reason that this has come to you is because we got a complaint from the fire department personnel about people making noise in the middle of the night, waking them up. So we kind of took a team approach to this and tried to figure out what the best thing to do would be. So we made up some signs on the printer, and we taped them out on the fence, and we said, you know, if you're not authorized to park here, this is for the fire department, the sheriff department, and the district, we're going to tow you. Well, so the next day I got one guy in the office, not this gentleman, who said, you know, I talked with the fire department, they don't care if I park there. And I said, well, that's interesting, because the fire department is the one that's complaining. So I said, who'd you talk to? Oh, I don't know. So then I hear, well, the reason he came in was because someone had taken one of those signs off the fence and stuck it on their windshield. It wasn't the district. It wasn't the district office. It wasn't anybody, one of our staff that did. Then this other gentleman came in, and he has very similar concerns, and he suggested that we set about doing some sort of a permit system for people that are not employees of the sheriff's department or the fire department or the district. Which, you know, is done. It's not an unusual thing. There's a certain amount of staff effort and stuff that has to be done. You got to get permits and put them on the windshields, and somebody's got to check them, and yada yada yada. So anyway, I don't know how you're going to want to deal with that, but that's kind of where it's at, and I don't think that the issue is going to go away, because this gentleman that was here tonight is pretty adamant about wanting to try to find some way to get his wife to be able to park her car near the apartment when she comes home at night. So I think that'll come back to you.
Well, he could always leave the one space he has available for her.
Yeah, but he has another vehicle there too. Richard, yes, you're right. I mean, there's ways to deal with that don't necessarily involve us having to develop a parking system. I understand that there was a time when this parking lot was fenced off and gated, but I don't know what changed all that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. And then the gentleman that owns the apartment buildings on this side of the building wants to install some new fencing along the back property line. There's, I don't know, maybe 100, 125 feet of area that has no fencing now, and he would like to put in some fencing, and he would like us to share the cost of the fencing. And I think the thing that's really causing him to want to do this is because the bank is eroding. As the water rolls off of those pavements, less than half of what I told you I thought it was going to cost by the time we got done.
Great.
Yeah. And the meter readings on that new 6-inch meter that the board has been trying to get replaced for a long, long time tell me that they're about, right now, they're 25% higher than the estimates that we were using based on prior usage. So you're definitely going to see a meter that pays for itself in a short time period.
Now, let me back up. So approximately that revenue difference of the 25%.
You know, I didn't run those numbers. I'll do it for you.
But we had that, meter sitting in our yard for a year.
Don't get me started. The meter was sitting there because they didn't have the equipment to install it. So that was simply a matter of moving forward and getting stuff up and running.
Thank you for handling that.
Gary, while you're on, do you have the other property that was questionable as well?
I don't know of any other one specific problem.
The
crew's been replacing water meters as fast as they can since you brought me on. Even this week, they've been replacing water meters. And you got a lot of old, slow meters, and then there's still some stopped meters.
Right.
But the way that the district has dealt with that, at least based on what I've seen, has not. By basing their bills on what had been the previous average, you know, has mitigated those losses. It's not like you've got, you know, you're getting zero. It's not like the customer is showing zero consumption and they're not getting billed. They're getting billed on whatever their previous average was.
Except for one customer.
Yes.
We had one customer who creatively bypassed the meter.
You're talking about the water theft?
No, I actually went over and looked at that property, right?
Yes.
And it is lined with redwoods. And those redwoods are going to start dying very, very soon because they're only probably 3 to 4 feet tall, which they take a lot of water at that young age to in order to stay alive. You know, so I'm wondering, you know, if you're not getting water service and everything is lush and green and the flowers are way more beautiful than mine would ever be, you know. You know, how do you get things to look that good and never use a drop of water?
Well, that's how your staff determined that there was a problem.
Yeah, so is that being handled? Are we trying to assess
how much was stolen? You know, I wasn't going to discuss
that
publicly, but I think it's okay. Hang on a minute.
Oh, yeah, ask legal counsel.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I really can't discuss that any further at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
And then any day now, your old flatbed dump truck will be the property of Air Pollution Control District, thanks to Marie's hard work on getting all the paperwork squared away.
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Gary. We'll move on to Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Number one, Director Angelo.
I wasn't at the last meeting, so I don't have any.
Okay. Well, item number two, Director Blackburn.
I don't have any either.
I attended the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District last Wednesday. That was October 2nd. Nothing very interesting on the agenda for this particular item. There was we moved from an ATM basis to a credit card basis. There were the two main ideas behind it. Credit card versus ATM for making the purchases. The two ideas, one was greater consumer protection in case there's theft or fraud. That way, if somebody doesn't have access to your checking account, you know, at any given point before payroll goes out, for example, there might be tens of thousands of dollars because the employees are going to get paid. And so this it does offer some consumer protection. And there is a thought, according to the auditors, that some vendors won't take an ATM card versus a credit card. I'm not aware of any, but that was the thought according to the auditors. They seem to take mine just fine. But okay,
I had to turn my credit cards down.
The more interesting discussion turned out as a kind of a side discussion with the interim general manager was the talk of that'll probably be on the agenda in the future, bringing Shannon Sweeney back. She's out of the hospital now, and so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Wonderful.
That'll require some accommodations. I think you'll see the board make whatever reasonable accommodations are necessary to get Shannon Sweeney back. She has been the mastermind between the reengineering and everything, not everything positive, but so many of the positive things that just would not have happened without Shannon Sweeney. I know for myself, I'd welcome her back with open arms, and so hopefully we see that, and hopefully we see that soon. So
great.
That's my report.
Yay.
Oh, and there will be a Finance Committee meeting this Friday, 1 o'clock, here at the OC.
We spent a couple tedious hours on the phone yesterday trying to prioritize what our needs were versus what Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach's needs are. We've been attending the RAC and the water stuff, so.
Great.
I could.
Same old.
Yeah.
Thank you. Karen?
Yes, I attended, first of all, Five Cities Fire Authority. My notes are sitting at home. I'd be happy to prepare.
I'm so honest.
We are moving forward by hiring a consultant that will put us in a position where we will be able to hold an election that will be property owners deciding to raise money to continually or expand the support of the fire district And there'll be a lot more information coming out very soon, because that election could be as soon as next April. And I also went to Zone 3 Tech, and one of the things the public needs to know is that, although I don't think it's going to impact Oceano as much as Grover and Arroyo Grande, the water may have a little different flavor during November, because there will be a different chlorinating system, because state water will be offline from the 1st to the 26th. So that will be Lopez and groundwater supplying all the needs. And it's a routine thing of about cleaning pipelines. Okay. So, and at the same time, I know some of the Lopez pipelines will also be, there'll be maintenance at that time there too. So
I think the reason that it's important to have the vote in April is the SAFER grant, which we got, which was a two-year grant,
yes,
runs out at the end of next year, which hired three engineers and three firefighters that are currently employed with,
yeah,
the authority.
That's correct. There'll be a lot more coming out about, and the fire district is the information that will be presented to the voters will be balanced and factual. That there's regulations in requiring how these ballots go out and how the information is prepared.
Nice.
So it would be very specific.
Mary had a question too, I think.
Yeah. Let me, you know, Jennifer and I actually did the plant tour, what was it,
about
a week ago or something like that? It was really great.
I wanted to go, but
I'm
orthopedic.
I learned all about membranes.
that filter water. The membranes that filter the water before it's sent down to be drunk.
Oh, I thought she said men's brains.
I know.
Learned that one afternoon.
I gave that up years ago, trying to figure that
water,
one out.
Water treatment plant membranes.
Yeah. I'm sure it would have been misconstrued, so thank you for clarifying it. So let me understand this correctly. When they say, okay, you're going offline, you know, is it that state line that's pouring into the Lopez retention basin? Because what we typically get is a blend of Lopez, state, and surplus actually comes from the south, right? Is it shipped up from
Park
or something like that?
Sure.
But anyway, I know that there's definitely two sources of water, foreign water coming in.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very aware that there are multiple sources of water that come into the state of California.
Yes.
You know, so it's that one line that's the state pipe that they're cleaning and taking care of?
Yes.
Okay, you know, I have to tell you, the maintenance on that site was just phenomenal. The state of the art on how that plant is run, it was really impressive.
And they're adding more, another whole bank of membranes to increase the capacity to a little over, I'm not sure, but they are in adding another bank of membranes to increase the flow of the clean, beautiful water that comes out of that system.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item number 12.
Mr. President, before you move on to the next item, Mrs. Hodson reminded me that...
WA. And that money was kept on deposit in order to keep us in compliance with the bond. In 2009-10, it was with CCWA. CCWA no longer monitors us. They transferred that money to the county. The county has $185,000 of our money on deposit. That money came off of our books in the audit of the 2010-11 year. It should never have come off the books. It's still there. Mm-hmm. So it was incorrectly taken off the books. It will be put back on the books with a prior period adjustment for the audit that we're going through right now. So that's just a bookkeeping thing, but I just wanted to let you guys know that we do have $185,000 sitting with the county. One of the reasons why this fell through the cracks, I will say I wasn't here when this did, but one of the reasons is because we've had such high turnover in management employees. When the money was transferred from the CCWA, nobody knew to go looking for it. There is not in its own checking account or its own money market account, so we don't get a bank statement that shows this money. The county has it on deposit with them. They keep track of it just in their books, you know, like a general ledger account. Mm-hmm. And she accrues interest once a year, June 30th. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we do have $185,000 sitting over there on deposit to help us be in compliance with that bond requirement.
And that's in the water fund, or what fund is it?
It's in the water fund.
Okay.
So you'll see a prior period adjustment on the financials that we're working on now for that amount. And it will be an asset, a restricted asset deposit.
I'd like to point out, though, is that we're supposed to have 125% on, we're short.
We are short. I did talk.
Our bill is much bigger than that.
Right. If you, our bills are right now about $890,000 a year.
Right.
So about 25% is what we need to have on deposit, because 100% would be the payment, and then we'd have to have another 25% on top of that.
Right.
That's about $220,000 that we'd have to have on deposit. Yes, we don't have that. But because the CCWA is no longer monitoring us, because we're this very small on the whole state water project.
Small,
yeah. They don't really want to monitor us. So
right.
They handed us off to the county, and the county's monitoring us. They said as long as they have that money on deposit, they're not going to really enforce that requirement, because they have that money on deposit. Technically, if we have 125% revenue, we can go get that money back. We can get it and use it for something else if we had the revenue stream, and we could prove it with it's a big convoluted
right.
calculation. But she said since we're not coming to her asking her for the money back, or the county's not, they're not really
they're
going to
enforce. Us alone.
They're leaving us alone. So the minute that we want that money back, then we have to prove that we can
sustain
the 125%.
Yay.
So that's good news.
That's a good one, too.
A lot of good news. And it shouldn't cost us any. It's not going to cost us anything, because it's just a prior period adjustment on our audited financials. We're not going to go restate prior financials. We're just going to do a little line item with a disclosure at the end of our financials.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Move on to item number 12, which is public comment. I do have a request from Ms. Naylor. Good evening, Giselle.
Hi. This public comment relates to the piece of paper that Dave Flynn did not include in a timely manner with the agenda, talking about, I'll just state one sentence out of it, construction in the year 1516 possible to be done under the 13th Street Route 1 storm drain project. So from what I understand, what I could understand at this meeting, there was some discussion that the county wants to add street lighting in Oceano and to do this, quote unquote, under the storm drain project contract. So I've got a lot of questions, because what was put forward tonight was very general. There were no specifics. And what I would suggest is that before you agree to anything, you get something in writing that's specific about exactly what does the county want to do, and why would they attach anything under a contract that's supposed to improve flooding in Oceano and improve our storm drains. Whatever grants they're going to go for, whatever expenditures the county is going to put out, that should be a separate contract. If they're talking about PG&E providing equipment, then PG&E needs to provide, you know, specific details. What equipment do you folks want to put in for street lighting, and what specific? And Glenn Marshall, who is the transportation liaison within the Department of Public Works, they have not
required contractors to get encroachment permits. So you need to figure out, you know, when do they encroach
Thank
on
you.
Private property?
Thank you very much, Ms. Naylor.
When do they require encroachment permits?
Is there any other public comment this evening? Ms. Naylor, your 3 minutes is up. Thank you. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll move on to item number 13, resolution number 2013-27, fiscal year 2013-2014, first budget quarter review and proposed budget adjustments. The recommendations are laid out in the agenda. I'll turn this over to Jocelyn, I think. There was an amended attachment. Did everybody get those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jocelyn pointed out
yes,
a few highlights
for
me earlier today, if you want to address those.
Yes, I provided every board member and the public with the revised copies. And I just wanted to, again, point out that the only changes were to the sewer funds adjustments, and that is the only changes. You'll see that on the, if you go to attachment 2, which has the resolution, and then behind the resolution is the adjustments. If you go to the sewer funds, the only change on there from the Friday's packet is that I had the negative going the wrong way on the revenue. And also the capital equipment account code 0354500351. Original budget was $12,500. I adjusted the budget for the jetter that we just purchased with cash and also the maintenance and the purchase of the new truck that we just bought. And when I did the adjustment, I forgot to include that original $12,500 for the router and the camera, and it needs to stay in there. So that was the two changes that I made from the Friday's packet. If you want to start with the staff report, I can, or did you guys have time, any questions on it, or should I just go through it real quickly, hit the highlights, or how?
I thought it was pretty thorough. Why don't we see, I think your instinct's correct. Why don't we see if anybody has any questions or if they want you to explain it any further, Karen?
Okay.
No, not really. It's very comprehensive.
I'm good to go.
Okay.
It didn't even put me to sleep.
No, it was well done. It was very well done.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. Just made it going.
I do have a question, if
sure.
That's okay. Sorry.
Please, that's what we're here for.
I know, I talked to you before I got to look through it. But, okay, one of my questions was about the insurance. You did adjust it for the increase in garbage.
Are you referring to the employee insurance, or are you talking
no.
about the general liability insurance?
The liability insurance. So I'm trying to find, of course, I didn't
yes.
write down the...
In the garbage.
Yeah. In garbage, I see an increase of $2,700.
And you're looking at the adjustments?
Yes, I'm looking at the adjustments. And now I'm going to open up the budget to actual...
Right. Before the general liability insurance, we had zero.
Yeah.
But the garbage fund maintains the Triangle Park, and we have garbage cans. And so I thought that I wanted to allocate a portion of the general liability insurance needs to go to garbage. And general liability insurance in total is about $40,000. So the $2,748 is really not a big portion of that. It's just... that the garbage fund does need to pay for some of the general liability insurance.
That makes sense.
And the general liability insurance, the way we break that up is for the admin building, that portion goes to the $4,100 or the administrative fund, but all the other stuff that's, you know, can be attributed to each individual fund based on what is in the policy, mm-hmm. then I divide it up between the funds.
Right. Okay. And so I do understand that. I noticed that, say... with attachment 1 I don't know on the sewer expenditures page
okay
for the insurance there it's account number 150 I noticed that it was a little bit high but that we didn't do an adjustment for it and I was just curious because garbage is also you know it obviously garbage. There was nothing budgeted for it so it went up. But with that, and I believe with water as well, we were at 35% for water and 61% for sewer. So I was just curious if there was a reason that we didn't adjust
yeah.
it for that.
I had thought about changing the general liability insurance for a lot of the other funds, but with the new new calendar year coming up, our rates are going to be different based on the, each, we get new quotes each calendar year. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be getting the new jetter on there and the truck. And so I'm going to be adjusting the general liability. Okay. I did want to adjust the garbage because that was such a obvious, I will have to adjust that one, but I'm going to be adjusting in the people that work in here and that type of thing. Yeah. But the utility allocation is the utility workers, their cell phone bills, their internet, mm-hmm. The PG&E for their office out there. So those get allocated based on utility allocation, mm-hmm. and right now for our budget, it's 80% water because we figure the guys spend about 80% of the time on water, 13% sewer. I want to say 6% garbage, 1% to the sheriff's rental property, and 1%, something like that. I can't remember right now, but it's in the... And so all of their cell phone, the vehicles, fuel, everything gets that's related to the utility workers will get allocated based on those percentages.
Okay.
And what else was... And each year, depending on the upcoming budget year, we can always reevaluate those percentages based on what we think. You know, I mean, if we're next year we're like, okay, we're really using that jetter a lot, maybe we'll reduce water down to 70. But it's to be consistent with all the utility workers' expenses, their clothes.
Oh, and
I mean, not one fund should be hit with the clothing expense for the guys because they actually work for all the funds.
No, I definitely understand. I'm sorry. I must have miscommunicated. I was curious. I noticed that on the adjustments page, that the current budget amount was $437 for account 171 for the maintenance of the vehicles. And on the original budget, it's actually $326. And so I just wanted to make sure that that was not just a typo.
For which account number? 171?
Yes.
And the original budget is what?
$326. And I checked against the, you have it on your, the one that you gave us, and also this, but on the adjustment, it's a little bit higher. So I just wanted to point that out in case it made a difference.
So then I would, the proposed adjustment right now is just $63, mm-hmm. which, and I was trying to even out the number to 500. So if, okay. in order to,
so it'd stay 500 no matter what. So.
Or we can just say keep it at 63. I mean, it's really not, I don't know how much, I don't know. If you guys want to do that. Because then I would have to change the other stuff, so I'm not sure if we want to just leave it at 63. Can we just leave it at 63?
Just leave the total at 500? Sure.
Or no, not the proposed adjusted budget, but
okay.
leave the adjustment column the same.
Okay, because that would...
And leave that at 63.
That would leave
and
the
so
numbers
then
the same?
It would be 326 plus 63, and then that would be the new... final budget number?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is.
Okay.
So it'd be 389?
Yeah, that sounds right. That was all my questions. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Jocelyn? All right. If there's none, is there a motion?
I move that we accept Joshua's adjustments to the first quarter review, correct?
Yes.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We'll take a roll call vote since it is a resolution. Marie? Director Blackburn?
No, Director Angela.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I found that. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
It was Director Angela, second.
Thank you.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion. The resolution passes by a vote of 5-0. Move on to item number B, or 10B. Excuse me, 13B, isn't it? Yeah, move on to item 13B, recovering district costs associated with the ordinance
file. Wait, there's more.
Excuse me, hold on, we're not done.
My bad.
So on my staff report, there's four recommendations. So we already hit one and two. Right. Number three is review and discuss the quarterly cash and investment report as of September 30th, 2013, which is attachment three. It's a one-pager.
Yes.
Point of order. The motion was to approve the staff recommendation, which is all four items.
And accept the quarterly report.
That's correct.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. So
it's done.
Done.
Accepted staff recommendation.
Okay. Sorry.
Back to item number B, recovering district cost associated ordinance violations. It's recommended the OCSD Board of Directors review and accept this report and provide direction as desired. There was a very well done staff report, Gary. Thank you very much.
Didn't we have money more for the OCSD?
It actually gave me some information about the ordinances that I didn't have, wasn't aware of.
I believe that.
I think we all felt that way.
That's right.
At least I hope we all felt that way.
I didn't get that email.
Okay.
I think you covered the bases. That's why the work was done, was because the board made it clear they wanted to be able to recover costs that were not attributable to our actions. My research led me to this ordinance that has been on the books here for a while that I don't think anyone on staff knew was there. Current staff, obviously, they did when they passed it. And it covers the bases in terms of allowing us to recover expenses that are caused by impacts or damages caused by others. There's a little more research that I think needs to be done, and it has to do with the fog ordinance itself. Mm-hmm. Because the fog ordinance clearly allows the contractor to recover their costs and their cost of administration and oversight and response and this, that, and the other thing. And that's a JPA, we're a member of that JPA. I'm not sure if that authority from that district ordinance that sets up fog allows us to move forward using that also as a tool to recover costs. But the statements that we have in the ordinance are such that it, even though it's a water ordinance, it says that these impacts, any costs that are incurred as a result of any ordinance in the district can be recovered through this mechanism. So I've been practicing law without a license for many, many years, but
be careful what you say.
I know the feeling.
But you know, I think that at some point you're going to want Mr. Minery to look at it.
Mr. President of the board, I have reviewed your ordinance, and I think you can feel comfortable that you have a very robust enforcement procedure within the ordinance and in the government code and the health and safety code itself as well. Essentially, the way the ordinance reads is that the permit to use services is a contract, and the initial steps likely would be for any enforcement would be to go with the enforcement of the ordinance, the procedures of the ordinance first as a first step, which requires the general manager to provide notice and an opportunity for the offending party to cure, essentially. At that point, you do have procedures that you can follow, which is essentially what the ordinance requires is treatment of the offending party as essentially a public nuisance, which would require an abatement proceeding to essentially tell them they cannot occupy the building. There's an escalation from that point. You also have the ability to treat any violation as an infraction or a misdemeanor. I would say that is a judgment call. At the time, misdemeanors would be $1,000 fine. Each hookup is a violation. Each day is another violation. So you do have quite a stick. And the enforcement procedures also contain an award of all attorney's fees and costs. So to the extent you need anything more than what is in here to go after somebody, you really don't. I mean, you have the tools that you need to do this.
Okay.
So in application where we didn't know there was a violation occurring, and then the district incurred costs and it was remedied, can we go back and recover those costs, or would we have to therefore have put them on notice that, hey, we want you to abate this?
I don't think that the I think that you do not have, you can go back and recover the costs.
Okay.
Your recovery of the cost is a separate and distinct remedy available to you. The procedures for notice and request for abatement are a separate provision to simply stop the bleeding, essentially.
Okay. Karen, do you have any questions or?
No.
Because I think, and
don't we have a couple of issues where we can actually use this ordinance coming up?
Already in existence? Yes, I think so.
But there are a couple back issues, too, where district property has been, developers have removed district properties, not to beat lighting to death, but there's been two neighborhood lights taken out that the district paid for, and the developer never put them back in. Promised the neighborhood he would, but, you know, turn and burn them.
And, you know, one thing that I, in situations like this where you anticipate, for one, kind of recovering your footing from things that have happened in the past, and then also looking how to have an aggressive enforcement program going forward, I think usually the best thing to do is to establish procedures that a staff can follow in every circumstance so that there's never an accusation that one person is being treated differently.
For lighting or backwards for grease or backwards for water. Right. When you don't have a process.
Right.
I think we should direct staff to set up a procedure and execute it.
I think that's why it hasn't been implemented is because, I mean, the steps are really in there. It
yeah.
tells you what to do. But, you know, I think there needs to be a checks and balances in such that, you know, the board's put on notice that this issue is moving forward and
right.
things are being done. So we'll put together something like that so
okay.
that you've got a way of knowing that it's being implemented.
Yes. Well, why don't we make that the staff direction? You can report back in 2 weeks or 4 weeks when you're ready.
And Gary, can I ask you that in those steps, as people come in for, you know, let's just start with like what the will serves,
mm-hmm.
that they're given this ordinance.
Right up front.
Yeah. You know, once it's exactly how we want it, you know, spelling it out, saying, if you damage any of our property, you are expected to replace it. Because I have a developer right now who's like,
mm-hmm.
nah, county doesn't require it, so I'm not going to do it, you know.
And excuse me, Ms. Vice President, that we could certainly include, as procedures going forward, even something as simple as a acknowledgement of receipt of
okay.
the ordinance that we just mm-hmm. discussed, at where somebody would initial or sign that they have received and understand and agree. Because what even just a simple fact of getting a permit is the contract that someone is making an agreement with the district to abide by this particular ordinance. And
right.
so calling that out in advance is certainly something that would help any enforcement action in the future if it comes to that.
Great. Thank you. I love it when the attorneys
right.
don't say no.
Well, so we can figure out how to make this happen, right? Move on to item number C, San Luis Obispo County Capital Improvement Survey Request. It was in our packet.
Yeah.
Again, there was a staff report. Let me throw this out there. Is there any board member that wants to help staff fill this out, or is this something
yes.
that should be done at the staff level?
I'm interested.
Okay, guess what?
Give it.
You raised your hand.
Jennifer's going to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer says she'll. Do you want
to
help?
Would you like to help?
It's not this night.
I'm thinking of an answer.
You're thinking what?
I could try.
All right.
Great.
Why don't we direct Directors Blackburn and White to work with staff on item 13C, and you guys can report back to us when you think it's right. Report back to us. I think it'll be work with Jocelyn and Marie would be my guess, but we'll just say staff.
Well, this question of what is your average annual budget for capital improvements, do we have any?
Have we had any in the past?
I don't think we have any.
But we can
to be determined.
We do not have anything. We do not have a budget for capital improvements.
Well, this is what... Well, the Finance Committee is going to be starting to work on that.
Yeah.
And then the board will start to work on
it. We have had them in the past.
Yeah. We can average it.
Mr. President, would you clarify that comment? So I know the Finance Committee is meeting, and they want to embrace this wholeheartedly and move forward.
Yes, that's correct.
But at this stage, Director Blackburn and Director White are going to work on completing this form?
On this form.
Based on the current?
Right.
Current situation?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct. All right, move on to item number 14, utility items. None. Why don't we do board member comments right now, then we'll adjourn into the closed session. Again, take a break and adjourn and finish up where we left off earlier in the meeting.
There is one thing that probably doesn't belong under utility that I want to point, that I want to bring up tonight while I have the opportunity. I obtained a copy of a staff report from the City of Grover Beach relating to Amtrak funding. I don't know if I shared that with you all or not.
I have a copy here.
They're taking some action, and it appeared to me from reading it that they're taking action based on something that the federal government is about to do. But I also know that there is a pressing concern for the state of California to step up to the plate and do some additional financing to help the federal government pay for Amtrak, and that is something that's not too far off in the distant future. So it's a subject matter area. I don't know, if the board is interested in pursuing that or not, but it's something that's, since Amtrak runs right through here and the train station's just down the road a piece, I thought that I wanted to make sure that you knew that was happening.
I appreciate that. I worked for Amtrak for 3.5 years.
I forgot that.
Gary, we don't have some.
So if anything, it's probably, I guess you could describe it as a lobbying effort.
Yeah.
The reason it caught my attention is because I just know from the national perspective there are several states, including the state of California, that have been placed on notice by the federal government that they're going to reduce Amtrak funding, and you all said that you would take care of picking up some of that load when the time came, and now it's there. So if the board has an interest in preserving whatever Amtrak service we have now, and I know it's not the best service, but plug in.
Some of us are quite happy with the dysfunction of Amtrak. I hate to call it that because if we had a bullet train that ran up and down the coast, we would be smashed by L.A. and San Francisco. I mean, right now, we still kind of have our own anonymity over here in San Luis. But the minute that train becomes functional as a way to seriously, commute, our whole worlds are going to change.
One of my personal interests is public transportation as a user, not a supplier. And there are no plans to build a bullet train along the coast of California.
There's been talk this far.
The bullet train plans that are having difficulty getting approved right now are through the Central Valley, and it will not go through the coast of California.
Great.
Well, I actually think that train service here is growing and growing and growing in popularity. And the coastal trains have more and more cars on them.
That's correct.
And I ride them, my friends ride them, and I would like to see us do anything we can to support this intercity passenger rail. So if we need to jump on this and write a letter, we've got a letter from our neighbors that we could paraphrase from.
I wish we had more local rail.
If the board has an interest in looking into that, we can educate ourselves a little bit better on what the situation is and what's coming down the road, and then craft our letter.
But is it something that the district deals with? That's what I'm wondering. Is it something within our jurisdiction that
it's not one of our core
us?
Powers.
Yeah.
But it's just a community interest.
No, but it.
Well, that's all I need. It's not an actionable item. I just wanted to get it. I wanted to make sure you knew about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so can we make a motion to pass on a letter of support?
No.
No.
Don't need to.
No.
Okay.
It's not an agendized item.
Okay. I just went through my training, so it's all fresh.
I know, but I just,
I just wanted to make sure you knew it was out there.
Yeah, thank you. And I do love my train. I take it from L.A. all the time. I really do enjoy it because it takes so long. I can nap. I can do all my emails. You know, it's great.
It's got a bar.
Traffic. You know, yeah, you know. I never get told to get off the phone. I'm driving. No.
Let's go to items.
I had one
please.
More. This was in my mailbox up there. It was something about grants from California State Parks Office of Grants and Local Services. It's grants to create new outdoor recreational opportunities. And the lights went on because Oceano is famous for its lack of parks, unless you can cross the tracks. And there's an application deadline of February 3rd, 2014, if we have any grant writers or if there was any potential. I would like at least somebody to look into it.
Or
staff to look into it. I just got this, and I don't know where it came from. But there's also some workshops, Land and Water Conservation Fund technical assistance workshops they're offering. None close to us, however. But I just keep feeling like we should be able to get some kind of extra support from
State Parks.
California State Parks because they have such an impact on Oceano.
Yeah.
On our fire service, on our roads, our noise levels, our beach, our dust, our way of life. Anyway.
Agreed.
I like them.
Do you want to copy that and we'll just pass one out to everybody? And make them...
I have a copy. There was one in my mailbox, too.
No, I have a
box. In here. I thought you meant the mailbox.
No, no, here. Okay. My box here. No, it was passed on to us.
Okay, I didn't check my box.
Build them a website, and you can facilitate quite gracefully through that website. And so they were given awards of appreciation and recognized for their transparency in government up at the CSDA training.
Good.
And so I thought that was really nice that our neighbors got that award.
I'm curious.
What do you think?
All right, well, why don't we close board comment? We'll readjourn into closed session at this time. It is 9:03 p.m.
Can I take a break?
Yes. We'll take a break first, then adjourn into closed session. So we'll give everybody a chance to catch their breath. Thanks.
So how do you...
No.
We'll just kick them loose.
Let them go.